Well, the news is often full of war, Syria, Afghanistan, Yemen, just to pick a few from this week's news. Attention turns to peace today at Southern Oregon University, where at noon the Thalden Pavilion on Walker Street will start to host the World Peace Flame. It's only the second Peace Flame location in the U.S., the other being at the National Civil Rights Museum in Memphis. Savitri Makosh, who is the executive director of the World Peace Flame Foundation, is visiting for the lighting ceremony. She joins us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, John.
And also with us is SOU President Linda Schott. Thanks
Good
for
morning.
Being here. So Savitri Makosh has been a peace activist for many years. She's worked with survivors of rape and incest, as well as victims of war in the Balkans, the North Caucasus, Sudan, and other locations. And we also should point out that today is the United Nations International Day of Peace. So Savitri, can you tell us the story of the original Peace Flame?
Yes, we took our techniques of detraumatization into the crisis areas of the world, and very shortly we realized that the people's plight continued long after the bombs had stopped dropping. And when we would go from working in areas like the North Caucasus and former Yugoslavia and come back to the West, to the UK, Netherlands, Germany, we realized that there was a dissociation between us at home and what was happening out there. So we wanted to find a symbol that could just make us all aware of the unity amongst us. And so we looked for something that could go beyond race, culture, nationality, religion, everything that divides us, but a common symbol. So we came up with the flame.
Now, your bio says that you originally pursued business as a career, but there was a turning point that led you into working for peace. Can you describe that for us?
Yes. I guess I was working in the finance sector at a point, and actually, in my heart, I'd always wanted to work for peace. And it just that I was in a place where I felt it was just so much exploitation, and I thought, I don't want to be part of that anymore. I want to learn to live my life so that I'm giving to life and not only taking it from it. Because our values, I was just veering a little bit away from what my inner values were. So that made me reroute to where I felt I wanted to go.
So the original International Peace Flame location, I understand, is in Wales?
That's correct,
that correct,
yeah.
So tell us about that particular location, why you chose that, and then how you actually assembled the peace flames from around the world.
Mm. So we have a centre in North Wales, which is a centre of education of health and well-being. And so when the flames came together, the seven flames from the five continents came together at one of our conferences in Bangor University. We have strong roots there. And so it was very natural to make the first monument in beautiful Snowdonium National Park. And from there, because most of my work is based in Holland, the next piece, actually the very first peace flame, went in The Hague, outside of the International Court of Justice, the International Peace Palace. So it stands there as a monument to what the world put together after the Second World War, the Peace Palace.
And so you brought the peace flame to the United States first in Memphis, which of course was where Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated.
Yes. We were doing a tour across here, and we were invited to come and place the flame there. It was a tremendous gathering, really a phenomenal gathering. And as a result of that, the World Peace Flame got the Howard Thurman Ecumenical Peace Award and several other acknowledgments from your beautiful country.
So, President Schott, how did the flame come to SOU? Where did this all start?
I was first approached by Barry and Catherine Thalden, the citizens here from Ashland who have supported the building of the Thalden Pavilion. And they had been approached by Irene Kai and David Wick and the Ashland Commission of Peace about the possibility of hosting a peace flame. And as soon as they broached the idea to me, I found it fascinating. SOU had just gone through a strategic planning process where we had begun by clarifying our institutional values. And among those values were great appreciation of diversity, equity, inclusion, sustainability, healthful ways of being. So there just seemed to be a lot of synergy between what SOU stood for and what the Peace Flame stands for. So we were happy to be able to host it. The one thing that we had to resolve was what would fuel the Peace Flame, because we did want it to be sustainable since it's on the farm, which is our center for sustainability. And once we were able to find sustainable fuels, then it was full speed ahead.
So tell us a little bit more about the Thalden Pavilion, which will be the home for the Peace Flame. I've watched it go up on Walker Avenue. It's a really striking structure.
It is a beautiful structure. It's dedicated to outrageous innovation in sustainability and the arts. It's envisioned as a place where our students can go, relax, have outdoor classes, where we can bring children from the nearby schools to be instructed about sustainable farming techniques, to harvest vegetables, prepare their own food. And it's a place for the community to come and recreate. And we also envision having artistic performances there. So.
Linda Schott is the president of Southern Oregon University here on the Jefferson Exchange this morning. Also joining us is Savitri Makosh, who is the executive director of the World Peace Flame Foundation. You can join the conversation as well by calling us at 800-838-3760. Or if you'd like to send us an email, our email address is jx@jeffnet.com. .org. So, Savitri, I'm going to ask you the same question. How is it that you heard about Ashland?
We were approached by Irene Kai, and she had been traveling in North Wales, happened to get lost, and turned up at our center, saw the World Peace Flame there, and thought, I want that in Ashland. And so here we are several years later.
Kind of just a chance encounter then, almost. Yeah.
Chance. Yeah, okay. That's a big question. What is chance? Yeah.
And so I feel like we should have these people on the show as well to talk about their activities. So you alluded to this earlier, Savitri, about the symbolism of the Peace Flame. Obviously, it symbolizes peace, but it goes deeper than that. Can you explore that a bit?
Well, you know, throughout our history, throughout time, the great people have tried, you know, the greats in this world have tried to explain to us what's common with all of us. And what they come to, as far as I have read, is that within each one of us, there is a light. And that's what is common. There are so many things that separate us. We can look around, even at the people in the room, and we're taller, shorter, whatever. But there's one thing we all have in common, and that's the light within and the innate wish to have happiness in our lives, to live a happy life. So the flame speaks to that part of us, that the soul, if you like. But how do you describe that? Only we can turn to the books of, you know, the great philosophers, and they talk about the power of light. So, and of course, fire is, you know, the beginning of the universe, and it's without fire, there's no life.
And certainly there's an elemental connection with fire that we all have.
Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes it's fear, but usually it's not. So the actual physical lighting of the flame, is this a passing of the torch like one does in the Olympics, or... You brought the flame with you?
We brought the flame with us, yes. We brought one of the original torches because, you know, there's so much in this world that tries to take us away from anything of meaning. And when we have a symbol, when we have something of meaning, something we can pass on, it's like passing on to future generations. Words aren't enough. Sometimes we need a picture. Pictures aren't enough. We need to be the people behind the action. So the original things are here in Ashland. Yeah.
So the flame is here. President Schott, can you tell us a little bit more about the specifics of today's ceremony? I understand it starts about 11:45 this morning.
Yes. We would like people to be there by 11:45 if possible. We do expect a crowd, so folks need to plan to have time to park and walk to the pavilion. I believe the ceremony itself will start promptly at noon. And we will be live streaming to a large audience across the world, I take it. So there's a lot that we need to coordinate to make that live streaming happen. So we really encourage everyone to get there by 11:45, if possible, at the Thalden Pavilion. And we'll have a few speakers, a couple of singers, and it should conclude by 1 o'clock.
And then the flame will just be there, and anybody can go by at any time to view it or sit with it?
Yes, absolutely. It will be protected. It's in a case. No one can harm themselves on it. There will be a tender of the flame that makes sure that it stays fueled. But yes, the pavilion is basically an open facility. If there's an official event, folks need to request access to the space through the university, but there are lots of times when it's not being used, and we've noticed that people do Tai Chi there, or the kids just go there to play, so it's kind of developing its own identity.
I just enjoy standing on the street and looking at the building. It's really beautiful. So you mentioned the sustainable flame. What actually is the fuel source?
That I cannot actually tell you. I just know that we looked long and hard and we were able to find something that was sustainable.
Our guests this morning on The Exchange are SOU President Linda Schott and Savitri Makash, who is the president of the World Peace Flame Foundation. We're talking about the World Peace Flame coming to Ashland. It's going to be lit today at noon at the Thalden Pavilion, which is on Walker Avenue in Ashland. So, Savitri, a cynic might see things like the Peace Flame as kind of an empty gesture in a world where there's so much violence and so much war. You obviously have done a lot of hard work in some very, very scary areas in peace work. So can you describe your perspective on the power of this flame to actually change things?
The power of the flame to change things lies in the hands of each one of us. So around each of the flames, there are 22 monuments across the world. Ashland is going to be the 23rd in a couple of hours. But it's the people that gather around the monuments and around from the community that make the difference. So who isn't concerned about children? Who isn't concerned about the old people in our environment? So when it's a natural attraction, the flame is a natural attraction for people to use as a platform so that they can create the projects they need to or they feel they want to in their area. On a practical level with the flame is about celebration. It's not that the flame is going to suddenly go out there and do the work for us and bring peace and make everything okay, but it's a reminder to each one of us. At the very end of the day, we're left with ourselves. When we go into our rooms and we close the door, no one's seeing, and it's who we are. So that flame is like, it's like a reflection, and it brings us back to ourselves, helps to reroute us to our own values, and so that we can live in this world and contribute to it. We can decide with our friends what's a good thing to do with our lives. The time is going to pass anyway. We can do anything, but how cool if we celebrate life together so that other people benefit from it. And that's what the flame is saying to us. It's about celebration. It's not a heavy sort of peace, you know, structure. It's light. It's light. The flame is light.
And
it says, take yourself lightly.
It's not intended to let us off the hook.
No, not at all.
So are there going to be more peace flames in the United States?
Oh,
this is only
really
the second.
Hope so. I really hope so. You have a stunningly beautiful country. I love it here. When we came back in, one of my colleagues from Switzerland said, oh, I feel at home here. We have been welcomed like we have come back to a place we never left. So I absolutely hope that more people will embrace it and use it to make their dreams come alive.
So we have a lot of people listening from various communities around our region, a very large region, Northern California and Southern Oregon. So if somebody is listening today and says, I want a peace flame in my community, can they contact you? How do they go about it?
They can contact us through our website, which is, can I say it?
Please go ahead. Yeah, we are already linked on our website to yours.
www.worldpeaceflame.org. And we have some great projects for children, for medical camps in India, for cataract operations. So we do a lot of great projects through the World Peace Flame. Education is the right of the whole world. So you can contact us there, and let's see what we can do.
President Linda Schott, will you have a long-going relationship with the World Peace Flame Foundation, be doing future events or programs?
I don't know the answer to that yet. We're happy to meet Savitra and get to know the foundation better. Certainly, helping our students live lives of purpose is part of our new vision for the university, striving to be a university for the future, where we are helping everyone fulfill their dreams and create a better world is part of our vision. So it seems to me that there is a great deal of alignment. And now that we know each other, I wouldn't be surprised that future projects develop.
Good to hear. Linda Schott is the president of Southern Oregon University. She joins us this morning here on the Jefferson Exchange. And Savitri Makosh is the executive director of the World Peace Flame Foundation. Again, the World Peace Flame will be lit in Ashland at the Thalden Pavilion, which is on Walker Avenue, today at noon. And the actual ceremony begins at 11:45 if you want to attend. Savitri, President Schott, thank you for being with us this morning on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.